It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy, Renee, and Alex are in the house. We'll talk about the new versions of iOS, iPadOS, macOS, update all the things. Also, some previews Apple put out for accessibility. They're coming soon to an iPhone near you. And believe it or not, Alex is going to dissect the backgrounds that they use at premieres and tell you why Apple's are just so much better than anybody else's. All that and some fake potato chips, too. Coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 818, recorded Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. Unconstrained by time and space. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by New Relic. That next late night call is just waiting to happen and wake you up. Get New Relic before it does. You can get access to the whole New Relic platform and 100 gigabytes of data free per month forever. No credit card required. Sign up at newrelic.com/MacBreak. And by Melissa. Make sure your customer contact data is up to date. Try Melissa's APIs in the developer portal. It's easy to log on, sign up, and start playing in the API sandbox 24/7. Get started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. And by Our Crowd. Our Crowd helps accredited investors invest early in pre-IPO companies alongside professional venture capitalists. Join the fastest-growing venture capital investment community at ourcrowd.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. Andy Iannacco's here, WGBH in Boston. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Leo.
Good to see you.
Yes, it's good to see. It's good to be seen. It's good to be here.
Yes.
It's good to have the windows open for the first time. It's interesting to go from 20 degrees and like to have two comforters on the bed to 48 hours, like all the windows open, all the fans out from the
Isn't
air.
Isn't that a great feeling? Yeah. We're doing something in California. It's an annual tradition called weed whacking. So we've actually closed all the windows because we don't want to start growing weeds inside. Renee Ritchie's also here. YouTube.com/Renee Ritchie. How are things in Montreal?
Good. Like Andy, we went from minus 40 Celsius, which is also minus 40 Fahrenheit, to about 32 Celsius, which I think is like 90 Fahrenheit in the space of like 2 weeks. So everything is fine.
When you get, I know 40 and 40 below are the same. Is 40 above and 40? No.
No. I think it's like 100 to you.
Yeah.
It changes. Yeah. It's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
It's just miserable because it's not, so humid. It's an island.
It's not commutative. Welcome back, Mr. Alex Lindsay from globaloffice.global and OhNo.media.
Hooray. Now, we have goats here in Nevada.
Nice.
For the weed whacking.
Yeah.
They come in hundreds. We've got the notices up that the goats are coming.
Yeah.
And so they put little fences around our sections, and then the goats just take over and they eat everything.
So you use goats for weed and for yoga? America's a winner.
Everything. Goats.
I haven't seen yoga?
You haven't seen goat yoga? They sit on you and then you do poses. Ooh. It's real.
Is it little goats? Like little?
Yeah, little-ish.
Big goats.
Pygmy goats.
They're gruff.
Are they the little ones that jump around?
We got goats back in the day. I thought, like you, that goats would eat the weeds. But then Jennifer gave them alfalfa, and they never looked at the weeds again.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't give animals.
You ruined them.
You can't give animals the good stuff, and then they just won't eat the other stuff anymore.
Like, I'm not eating that. Where's that alfalfa? Yeah. Give me some more of that, please.
It's exactly. A filet of corral.
You know, if you don't feed them long enough, they'll figure it out. But
it's the Robichon of weed.
Yes, exactly. iOS and iPadOS 15.5 and Monterey 12, is it 12.4?
Yeah, I think
Update all the things. This 15.5 is just on the heels because, you know, we're going to get 16. At least they'll announce it in June and we'll get it in the fall. So I've seen some say, oh, this isn't really, there's not much here. But I think there's quite a bit. Let's talk about some of the new features. The Home app has been tweaked. It will prompt you for critical alert permissions. Okay. The wallet has now, all the references to the physical Apple Card within the wallet app are now the titanium Apple Card. They weren't before. This is actually... Go ahead.
I was going to say, the one I really, really liked is that Continuity... Universal Control came out of beta, which, like, it was announced September... June
it works
of last
pretty well,
year,
though,
so figured,
right?
Yeah, it works fine. I think they were just, like, a little bit tentative when it first came out, and they had the beta label and everything, which is unusual, because the whole thing with before was, like, Phil Schiller said Apple doesn't beta. But history proved that, like a, not a good idea. So now they've begun betaing a lot of things.
That's a great story in the Trip Mickle book about maps. And, you know, the Trip Mickle book, which, by the way, on Thursday, we're going to have him on Triangulation at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, after Steve. It's kind of a recounting of stuff we already, you know, as avid Apple watchers know. But there's a few things behind the scenes, like what was really going on with Maps, that's quite interesting. So I'll ask him all that stuff. So, yeah, Maps.
And Richard Williamson disappeared into Facebook, and we never heard from him. Like, he went to Facebook to make Facebook Maps. Never heard from him again. Just
bye
like
bye.
So many Facebook projects.
Yeah, a lot of people disappear inside of Facebook and never come out.
Yeah.
So you have now the ability to send a request money directly from the Apple Cash Card in the wallet. You don't have to go to Messages for Apple Pay, person-to-person, peer-to-peer pay. In Messages, though, Apple has renamed the Apple Pay Messages app to the Apple Cash Messages app. And you can get vaccination records in your wallet in the EU now, as well as in the US. Podcasts has a much long-desired feature where you can clear out all the old stuff. Let's see. How many recent episodes?
When someone sends you cash, do you always feel like it's free? It's like free money. It doesn't really exist
anywhere. Not so much the cash, but whenever I use Apple Pay, I feel like I'm getting this for free. I just tap my watch to something.
It's mostly when someone sends me an Apple Cash. When they send me like $100, it's not like I put it back in the bank or
no. That's
it's
true.
Just
it
kind
just
of
floats
like,
there.
It's like this little extra money. I'm going to go and have a go buy something nice with that. Yeah, exactly.
The iPhone now supports the new DualSense adaptive trigger firmware features. Well.
I was waiting for that.
You thought OneSense was enough.
What is DualSense adaptive trigger firmware feature?
PlayStation.
I have no idea.
Oh, it's PlayStation.
It's PlayStation control,
Photos will no longer suggest memories taken in sensitive locations.
Oh.
Yeah,
we had that in the early days of iMore. We had someone write in who said that they got the Apple TV, they set it all up, they had photo stream, and then they went on vacation and they shared a bunch of stuff. And the in-laws came over and they were showing them their wonderful Apple TV when the boudoir photos all started.
Oh dear, how embarrassing!
Scrolling by the screen because it doesn't know. Like it was just a dumb app. All it did was take your photo roll and show all the photos. Yeah.
I think in this case, sensitive locations are things like Holocaust-related locations, not so much the boudoir. I don't know how sensitive your boudoir.
Well, there was Lauren Good's article about X's too, how like it likes to throw X's up at you every so often just to make your life, you know, that
what's
much
the
more
X fun for?
Relationships.
Oh, X's. E-X-E-S. Yeah, formers.
Yeah.
I think we're really approaching the time where there should be, like, by default, every camera roll should have, like, a private folder, meaning that can only be – that's never going to be synced. It's never going to be seen by any other camera app to expose this to Instagram or whatever else. You would have to move it into your main camera roll. And because I think that a lot of people would like that kind of convenience and that kind of, like – oh, God, that kind of reassurance.
They don't use it, though. There's a hidden folder, and nobody uses it because you got to tap twice before the thing goes in it, and nobody cares. Andy, we live in such a world.
I don't have anything, like literally nothing in my iPhoto that I couldn't explain to my wife and my kids.
Minus screenshots.
Because you're smart. I don't need to explain to my wife.
No,
she's in it, but
you.
I don't take... she won't let
to
me...
To my wife, my kids, my parents, anything. There's nothing in there. And unfortunately, I live a pretty boring life, but it's fun. It's because I love live... Like, when I just turned on to the open thing, you see all the stuff from all over the world, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But I suggest a folder. I have a folder that...
Mine was 99% Pokemon Go screenshots for 2 years. It was very depressing. Yeah.
Android added, and I can't remember if iPhone's done this, like a sensitive photos you don't want to show other people.
Apple has something. I think they have some kind of unsearched
They have a hidden folder.
Hidden.
Right. Like a hidden folder. Yeah. I don't know how to turn it on, but it's
you got to do like two or three taps to put it in there, and nobody does.
It's not just for naughty stuff. Like I often like capture receipts. Like when I'm doing house cleaning, there are all kinds of papers that I don't think I need to save, but just in case, I'll take a picture of it so I don't have to like actually save the paper of it. But I certainly wouldn't want that to go anywhere that I don't understand.
Passport.
Knox Harrington has sent us a list of sensitive locations. It's almost all Holocaust related.
Yeah.
The Anne Frank House, Treblinka, Auschwitz, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, that makes sense. You know, you don't want memories from there. That's not good. Yeah. Although I think once you say sensitive locations, that list could get a lot longer.
And who's maintaining this?
Right.
That's another interesting question.
Right.
That like, I don't know. It's. I think Renee kind of like hit upon it. That's these features can really help a lot of people and craft an experience that people would actually want. But you have to make sure that it's transparent. You have to make sure that they're accessible, and that I wouldn't. It would frustrate me if I was looking for a photo. I was expecting a photo to show up in a certain place and it wasn't. And I didn't realize that it was because this place that actually just has this really cool like 1940s like. A huge, wonderful piece of sculpture is actually a monument to a tragedy that is not necessarily exactly. universally known. Right. It's like, oh, how come that's not turning? Okay, that's the place where, like, that's where the Coconut Grove fire happened and 400 people died in one night. Okay.
There's a beautiful picture I took in Budapest. There's a famous memorial on the Buddha side of the river, of the Danube, with just bronze cast shoes. And it memorializes an event when the Nazis drove Jews into the river to drown, and left their shoes behind. And so, I actually wanted pictures of that because it's a very touching memorial.
Yeah.
But I get that's the thing is I don't it seems this seems very,
up in your
there's
memories,
very specific
like
I would though yeah. I but I anyway well that's just me so
yeah this, I mean that I was that was another thing that came to mind that. I wonder if there's ever been a discussion of a voluntary Bluetooth or Wi-Fi trigger or location trigger that says that, by the way, this is like you're really not supposed to take pictures of any kind in this space. Like, let's say you're at a temple.
Well, remember, that happened at one of the concentration camps. Some influencer was doing selfies there.
Yeah.
And people were very offended by that, understandably.
Right. Maybe. I mean, I would kind of enjoy. I don't know if there were like a voluntary tag where I could simply say, oh, somewhere in settings, I can say, by the way, if I'm ever trying to take pictures in a location where the people have said, no pictures here, please.
Yeah.
At least give me a warning before you proceed, because sometimes it really is difficult. Again, I have been in that situation where there's a near where I live, there is a place that is like, it just looks like a park. It doesn't look like a memorial to anything. There are like picnic tables, there's grass, there's ball fields, but it is a memorial park to a certain event that I won't mention, and someone got really, really upset when I was taking. Was basically, I'm in a park and I'm having some fun pictures, and like I was.
So that actually happened to you. That's interesting.
I think the person who was offended was more not terribly altogether. I don't think I'm not sure if it was reasonable for them to expect that. But the thing is, if I was aghast that I caused somebody offense,
you didn't even know
to this event.
Yeah,
exactly. And like I said, it wasn't like it was a park. It was the only thing that was missing was like barbecue, like those public little barbecue pits where you can just come in with your own briquettes. It did not look like anything. It looked like the sort of thing where, hey, we thought we'd create this place of happiness where people could just have fun, bring their kids as a way to celebrate the lives of the people that we lost on that day. And so like I said, it's an interesting idea. I wonder if it's been discussed.
Kind of like the geofencing that a drone does to keep you away from airports. And of course it'd be an opt-in feature, but I think that's a nice idea. I like that idea.
Yeah.
And that would be another way Apple could do this. The chat room is reminding me that all this means is those pictures won't show up in your memories. It doesn't keep them out
right,
of your
exactly.
album and so forth. Apple did announce, and I'm a little confused about this, upgrades that are going to be coming soon. To the iPhone, Apple Watch, and Mac.
Yeah.
including the universal live captioning tool, which Android's had for some time. It's really fantastic.
It's exceptionally. It's such an enabling tool for people who have differently able for hearing, but also for it's one of those accessibility tools that actually helps everybody. Just the idea of whatever text is going through the system, going through the audio system, just caption it, and the ability to just be able to hear somebody in a crowded room better. The ability to someone who is in a chat in a Zoom meeting that maybe you're having a little bit of trouble understanding, or maybe you're just responding better visually. The ability to not simply rely on a third party app supporting this external feature, but simply that, look, if this is going through the audio system, we have the ability to capture it and to transcribe it. The next step is translation, and that is like almost like, you know, Jedi ninja magic once you get that feature going, where you're on Twitter and the president of France is talking about making an announcement about the Omicron variant, and you're kind of interested to see what he's talking about, and boom, suddenly you're reading in English. This is great stuff. It's just one of a whole bunch of different features that were announced today that I think are just exceptionally on the point.
Google has that translation feature, as does Microsoft. In case of Google, it's Google Meet, and Microsoft and Skype. But I would love to see it system wide. Wouldn't that be great? Then you could watch anything and understand.
And Skype, it's the both of those are working incredibly well. And I think Skype supports like 60 languages.
Isn't that amazing?
It's quite a thing.
We were talking about that on Sunday, that when Microsoft announced that, it was a big deal, and nobody ever talks about that. So you obviously have used it.
We've used it in events, and we've also with Meet. One of the cheapest ways to put to put captioning, if you don't have the money, is you just put the captions over top of a window, and then you just cut that window out and key it over top of your footage, and
perfect.
It totally works.
Yeah,
then it's remarkably accurate, even when you're talking to having technical jargon. Meet just, I mean, Google's
incredible.
It's just amazing. Yeah,
Well, it'll be interesting to see how well Apple does this. Google does seem to have the advantage in this.
It's a cool thing because they started doing it a couple of years ago. They announced the accessibility features ahead of WWDC. So this is stuff that's going to come in the next version of iOS. They just don't want it to get lost amidst all the excitement over like iOS 16 and iPadOS 16. So last year it was like motor control for the phone, for the watch, and where you could actually move your wrist and everything would move. And now it's things like it's going to recognize a door for you. Not just recognize a door, but it's going to tell you what the text is. It's going to tell you how the door opens. And you can configure all this because you may not want too much information. You might want the information that's very pertinent to you. It'll tell you like the hours that the door says it's open or closed, so you don't try to open the door if it's outside those hours. And this is building on the distance detection they did last year, so that people would be able to do like the safe physical spacing even if they were low or no vision. And it uses like the LiDAR sensor and the RGB camera for computer vision, and all of these systems they've built in to provide this real deep, it's all in the Magnifier app. Like all this stuff is built into the Magnifier app, this really deep accessibility experience that's like, it's so close to superpowers. Like I was thinking of Andy when I was listening to it, because it's like like it's got radar vision and it's got zoom vision and it's got all of these things that are just beyond the scope of humanity that any of us might need any given day. Like I know they talk about it for accessibility, but you're always just like one injury or one doctor's appointment or one something away from needing this stuff desperately, and it's all baked in there. I think it's just fantastic.
Yeah. I love how subtle some of these new features are too. They did there's another feature where you can if there's a noise that is made inside your house that you need to have an eye on, like you don't know if a certain burner has been turned on or not, or if you don't know if that a certain fan has been turned on or not, or a CPAP machine, you don't know if that's working or not, you can basically play the sound into the system five times, and now we'll be able to recognize that sound and alert you that, hey, this is another thing that has been heard. I mean, I can't wait to see what Stephen Aquino has to say about this stuff. I mean, I don't cover accessibility 100%, and there's always like so much that you just absolutely cannot possibly imagine about how well this stuff works, how valuable it is.
James
so
Ralph,
this is
too.
Why,
this well, is and, the and this is the video Apple sent out for the live captioning in FaceTime. It actually shows the person's name, and it's like part of the FaceTime, which is really fantastic. I hope that, Now, so these are accessibility features that will be available in the next version of iOS?
In the future, but like they don't talk about about pre-announced stuff.
Just
so
coming.
Last year it was in the next version of iOS, so I'm assuming these will be in the next version of iOS when it's announced.
Here's some other images. You're going to be able to put the image of your Apple Watch on your iPhone, so if you have trouble seeing it or whatever, you can actually mirror your Apple Watch.
And then that works with like all the accessibility features that are already on the phone. So if you've got everything built up to do like the trigger for like you know, different breathing patterns or different tapping patterns, that'll all work with motion control too.
Really nice. Yeah. Here's the door detection that you talked about, Andy, where it says closed door 7 feet away and it even reads the text on the door.
There's a video for that, Leo.
Oh, is there? Okay, let me find that because
it's really good. I think
that's pretty good. Here's the door detection video. So a blind user, she's using a cane. She goes up to the door, and it says, muffin to write home about bakery, which is, I think, not a real bakery, but it is a funny name.
That's a good Bob's Burgers like store name.
Yeah, muffin to write home about. These are all great. Why did they roll this all up into one press release now,
so that we talk about it now and not talk about it when WWDC has 3 million other things. Yeah.
Okay, good. Got it.
Yep,
got it. So this is—they're
clearing the space.
This is part of the pre-WWDC releases. We saw that. We've seen that in years past. Yeah. Buddy controller. You can ask users, can ask a care provider or friend to help them play a game. Buddy controller combines any two game controllers into one. That might be just fun in general. That's really a cool idea. Siri.
I'm going to get my godkids to help me finish some of these games. I can't get past
exactly. Exactly.
Don't you laugh at me, Inako. You don't know how hard these games are.
I'm just thinking that if I want to get my hand in that like Twitch game streaming till, I will like hire an 11-year-old to be just off camera with the second controller so that people will see I'm not using a bot to do this because this is definitely human stuff, but I'm definitely playing this game not at the skill level that someone who has like has to pay rent and pay bills can do. Yep. but that's an excellent example. Like when we think about accessibility, we think about things like, oh well, how does someone get through the city? How does someone order in a restaurant that can't see the menu? Accessibility is not about it's about saying that every single experience that is available to every user on this device should be available to all users of this device. And games is just another thing that if it is that we need to make sure that we can have an equal experience for everybody, if especially when the solution is just not difficult to really, you know, grok. I'm sure this wasn't a trivial thing to build, dual controllers, but nonetheless, it's a more solvable problem than how to create an autonomous trail-seeking robot that can deliver laundry and pizza within 5 minutes for less than $3. This is why people get frustrated with why are we praising a technology company for developing a self-driving car that we don't actually need and we probably can't afford when we have so many basic, simple problems that could be solved very, very readily with some assistive technology that everyone could afford.
Well, and also, I think that we're getting very close, probably within the next 2 or 3 years, where you put your AirPods in and they're translating whoever you're talking to, because they take this voice to text and then the text back to voice.
Google just showed that at I.O.
They showed it 5 years ago at I.O., by the way.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted. I'm sorry.
We're just getting very close. What I'm saying is that it's a hard problem to solve, but I think that there's apps that do it right now. There's separate pieces of hardware that do it, but I think we're going to see it in the OSs pretty soon in the next 24 months.
The Babelfish, basically, from
you have your headphones on, and when you're talking to someone, you're hearing them in your language.
I love that.
If they have the other side of that, they're hearing you back.
Yeah,
and it could even sit there and tell you what to say if you can't.
Can I just say that this is one of the reasons why I was kind of excited about the Pixel Buds Pro coming out from Google. Not necessarily that I want to upgrade my cheap $99 pair of Pixel Buds with the noise cancellation, but they are so comfortable to wear and they understand, they're so fit for purpose for operating with a voice assistant that you don't have to squeeze something, you don't have to find that one surface, the entire surface that's accessible outside your ear is a tap control that does nothing but that. And the number, I'm now like in a default mode where whenever I need to get somewhere like in New York City, I will always turn on navigation, put on my earbud, and I will just listen for cues to go that way. I won't get into this long spiel again, but I still think that there's another example of why are you working so hard to create augmented reality goggles when you could create something amazing just by having a priority of having an audio interface where this is just your give me a Star Trek Next Generation communicator where I just tap it to say please listen to this command or give I want help at this juncture or take this note or send this message or do whatever. It's something that anybody with a pair of $30 Bluetooth headphones can get the technology to do and operate with their own phone. All we need is just development of this idea because I just absolutely love it. And I use it all the time. It gives me the same sort of jollies that I got when I had the courage to use Google Glass for the first year and a half.
Siri pause time. We'll let you adjust how long Siri waits before responding to a request. So this is actually something Google also talked about at Google I/O, letting people kind of think in between words.
Exactly.
The real challenge is how does it not translate Klingon when it's opportunistic? Because that's how all the universal translators work.
It all sounds like Klingon.
You still want to make the point? Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to renew a request that I made that unfortunately fell on deaf ears a couple years ago. I think that Google and Apple and everybody who's doing like voice to text should an automatic transcription. They need to work with the Henson Company, work with Disney, decide what the canonical lyrics of the Swedish Chef's theme song is. Ying vorsing de yern gnishkiter. So whenever like someone is the Swedish Chef is singing that song, we get the actual lyrics. This technology is available to us. All we need is the will and congressional funding. I support both of those things.
Voice control spelling mode. I think many of us would want to use this. Yeah. Gives you the option to dictate custom spellings using letter by letter input. I think all these features will be in accessibility, but as is often the case, that's a place to go to find some really useful features.
Yeah, accessibility is for everybody.
For everybody. Sound recognition can be customized to recognize sounds that are specific, like your doorbell, your alarm, your appliances. Love that. Apple Books is going to add some new themes, new customization to make it easier to read for people with various abilities. So this is good. Oh, I get it. This is Global Accessibility Awareness Day is coming up. And so they're celebrating May 19th. And that's why this is. And they'll be doing this with special sessions at the Apple stores and so forth. Sign Time will launch in Canada on May 19th to connect Apple Store and Apple Support customers with on-demand American Sign Language interpreters. Already available in the U.S. And the U.K. and France.
What I will say is that I think Apple does some of the best ASL that anyone does for their keynotes. You know, they've already kind of, and Apple generally with accessibility pays a lot of attention. And, but if you notice that they give you two options, rather than trying to just fit an ASL in, they're like, hey, if you want to watch ASL, click on this and we're going to give it to you exactly the way you want it.
Nice.
You know, and I think a much better solution than most. But I think a lot of other people have been kind of following along.
That has to be done, though, by humans, right? We don't have yet automatic ASL.
Well, not only is it done by humans, there's a difference between ASL that's provided by people who can hear and ASL that is provided by people who can't hear.
Right.
And those are, and sometimes you have one that can hear going to the one that can't hear, and then that one we've done a lot of it, and it's a complex system, and those little fine details make a huge difference.
Huge.
Yeah.
Not to mention, of course, country differences. And I wonder why it took so long in Canada. Maybe because Canadian ASL is different.
No you jokes. No you jokes.
No you jokes. Okay. Apple Store locations will be offering live sessions throughout the week to help customers discover accessibility features. So if you have some accessibility issues, you might want to go into your Apple Store. The Accessibility Assistant Shortcut is coming to the Shortcuts app this week on Mac and Apple Watch. It helps recommend accessibility features based on user preferences. In Apple Fitness Plus, trainer Bakari Williams will use ASL. Oh, that's so cool. I'm going to cry. To highlight the features available to users that are part of an ongoing effort to make fitness more accessible to all, including audio hints. Time to walk and time to run are going to add time to walk or push for wheelchair users. Time to run or push. This is really great. Yeah, Fitness Plus trainers incorporate ASL into every workout and every meditation. Not only closed captioning in six languages, but also ASL.
Yeah. See, this is why just checking in on Twitter, a lot of people are saying, well, gee, why are they having accessibility features for the Apple Watch? If you can't see it, you can't use it. But there's so many, it's possible, so let's do it.
Well, it speaks but the also, time. I know blind users who love the watch just because it'll tell them what right. time it is.
But also all these health features that if it should help everybody's lives, not just people who have a certain set of check marks on their product list.
Yeah.
So the fall detection is important for everybody. ECG checks, breathing detection is important for everybody. 911 access is available. Is going to help everybody. So yeah, this is a really really good set of announcements.
A series on national parks with accessible features, guides from Gallaudet University. This was a big press release, and well done, yeah. Apple. They got a little bit of trouble, I know, from some people because Siri's ability to read email and to direct phone calls was, for some reason, removed with iOS 15. I think it was put back, though, since. So I think they're very aware of this. I think they err on the side of extra features.
Yeah, this is one area where there are some features and there's some problems that unite every single tech company. Like there is no company that is more advanced than anybody else on security. Both Google and Apple are both want to make the internet and communications as secure as it possibly can be, and that's why they swap information and they help out each other. I think accessibility is on the same page. I've never met anybody on an accessibility team that wasn't all about, hey, wow, that's a great feature that these other people are working on, let's do it ourselves. Yeah. Or hey, we found even I can't talk about, but basically collaborating with each other, saying the shop talk where we can't figure out how to get permission to get this to work. So well, here, why don't you try doing this? This is how we got around it. This is, again, there's some things they're competing on so many ways, but there are many ways in which they recognize that they have an opportunity to not be jerks and help a lot of people.
Let's take a little break. We will have more in just a little bit. Andy Iannacco, Renee Ritchie, Alex Lindsay, the whole gang's here. Hey, hey, hail, hail. The whole gang is here. Our show today brought to you by New Relic. Now, if you're a software engineer, if you're responsible for systems, a sysadmin, you know that midnight phone call that no one wants. Your phone maybe gets an alert. I guess, do people wear pagers anymore or beepers? In the old days, it'd be a pager alert. Something's broken. Your mind is already racing. What could be wrong? Suddenly, your whole team's scrambling from tool to tool, going, what's wrong? What's wrong? Do you know what's wrong? Is it the back end? Is it the front end? Is it global? Is it the server? Is it the network? Is it the cloud provider? Do we have slow-running queries or the one you really don't want to think about? Did I introduce a bug in my last deploy? Oh, don't you wish you had New Relic? According to New Relic, only about half of all organizations are implementing observability in their networks and systems. Maintaining network observability continues to be an issue for companies around the world, but it won't happen if you get New Relic. If you don't like those middle-of-the-night calls, if you don't like not knowing what's going wrong, you need network observability, and you need New Relic. 16 different monitoring programs you'd normally buy separately, but all on one single software stack in one place so your whole team can see everything going on. 16 apps. I'll give you a couple of them. They have application monitoring, APM, for your apps and microservices. Very handy. You can actually go if there's an error, to the line of code causing the error. If you use Kubernetes, you'll love Pixie, instant Kubernetes observability. They've got distributed tracing, so you can see all your traces without management headaches in one place. Network performance monitoring, which goes right across the barriers, goes right through the silos. System-wide correlated views. That's what you need, so you're not looking piecemeal trying to find the problem. You could see the whole system. And that's just four of the 16 products. And can I tell you something? It is so popular among the people who use it. Dev and ops teams at DoorDash and GitHub and Epic Games. 14,000 companies use New Relic to debug and improve their software. So easy to install Whether you run a cloud-native startup or a Fortune 500 company, it'll just take 5 minutes to put New Relic in your environment. And here's the best news. It's free. Access to the whole New Relic platform and 100 gigabytes of data per month, free forever. You don't even have to give them a credit card. Look, that middle-of-the-night call is out there waiting for you. Get New Relic. Before you get that call, sign up at newrelic.com/MacBreak, N-E-W-R-E-L-I-C. newrelic.com/MacBreak. We thank them so much for their support of MacBreak Weekly. And I know there's a lot of devs and ops guys out there who thank them too. If you want to support MacBreak Weekly, go get that free plan. Just make sure you do it at newrelic.com/MacBreak. That's the URL. Apple is delaying return to office, according to the New York Times. You remember Apple, you know, which said, I think it was this week, that everybody was have to spend at least 3 days in the office, was already getting, you know, pushback on that. Not because of COVID, but just because people wanted to continue to work from home. But we're getting a spike of COVID-19. Yeah. And
they're putting masks back in 100 stores, too.
The stores, 100 stores, masks again. So I think it's convenient for Apple to say, oh, yeah, never mind. Apple Apple said it is going to proceed, they sent this note out today, with a pilot program to bring some workers back to the office twice a week in the weeks ahead. But it did say anyone in the program who felt uncomfortable coming into the office would have the option. That was a COVID sneak. No, that wasn't. Would have the option to work remotely.
It's been so weird, Leo. Like, I'm watching a bunch of people went back to having events. Like, they had GDC and they had PAX and they've had other events.
Yeah.
And people keep getting sick. Like, Twitter explodes with, oh, I got sick. I got COVID. Yeah. And then people are like, oh, I had COVID. I was positive, but I didn't want to miss out. So I went anyway. And then half of Twitter wants to cancel. And the other half is like, oh, well, at least you're admitting you're sorry. I'm really here and supportive of you. Like, the whole thing is just, you can't pretend that it's over to end it. You have to actually end it. And it's a little bit inconvenient, but it's way better to be a little bit inconvenient for a couple months longer than just like sick for like a
you
couple
see
more years
so many come. Stories from bad bosses requiring sick employees to work. That's terrible. Look, if we tell everybody, if you feel ill, I don't care if it's COVID or not, we don't want you in here, so stay home.
I'm just getting over a cold and I didn't even want to leave the house.
No,
like it's just a cold because I don't want to wander around and be that person that's like sniffling and coffee and stuff. I felt like I'd have to walk through Whole Foods going, it's not COVID. It's not COVID. It's not COVID. And I was just like, I'm just going to stay at home and order things from Amazon and let my wife go pick things up.
That's
and
the right thing to do.
Touch the rest of the world.
Colds are very contagious. It's the right thing to do. Yeah. Why, you know, don't give
up. We finally ended our mask mandate this weekend, like May 14th or something was the end of our mask mandate. And I went to the grocery store and like half the people were still wearing them, half weren't. And the ones who weren't wearing them were real angry at the ones who were. It's such a weird situation.
You know, nowadays, initially where you wore a mask to protect other people, right? But now with good N95 masks, you're protecting yourself too. So
it's
I wear them, you know, wear them. And if I had a cold and I had to go out, I would absolutely wear a mask going out.
I'd wear a hazmat suit.
Yeah. Company did say that employees who come to campus wear masks in common areas and elevators. And as you said, Renee, 100 stores now are bringing back masks.
Yeah.
I still think we keep on seeing people. We keep on seeing people from Apple quitting over the return to work. I mean, I think it's a problem. I think a lot of people
all over the place
left. Okay. Well, this is what a couple of people that I know that have left. What happened was is that when it went to where it was, they had a vacation home, or they had a second, you know, or they moved to Tahoe, they moved to other places like that. And then once Apple said you had to come back, I think that a lot of them just didn't think that was actually ever going to happen. And then the idea of having to go back to the South Bay is just a horrible place to live. I'm sorry, but it's so bad.
It's expensive.
It's so bad. The traffic is a nightmare and everything's expensive. I mean, you look at a house and it's like, it's $1.5 million. And if you see something listed at $1.5 million in most of Northern California, but definitely you're like, it's not going to be very good. It's just not going to be, you know, like, and the thing is that's the, I mean, in a million, I don't know if you can buy a house in the South Bay for $1.5 million. And if it is, it's like a one bedroom, you know, studio apartment.
You could buy the house where Facebook was born. $5.3 million.
My point exactly. You know,
and they didn't move the bodies. They only moved the headstones, didn't you?
It's actually in a very nice neighborhood. It's in Los Altos, which is very nice. Yeah. But
I think that the thing is that the idea of going back and paying all that extra money and sitting in all that traffic, and then your reward is that you get to sit in an open office, which is just so amazing. Yeah.
Work, but I have and everybody who comes to work has an office. And what we did when COVID happened and we had people coming in is made sure that everybody was one to an office because we had enough people weren't coming in, mm-hmm. so that you do have at least that kind of environment where you're closed in.
Yeah.
And then you put on the mask when you go into the common areas, the kitchen or the bathroom and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If there are two things that I hope COVID changes work culture permanently, one is the idea that, look, if you're sick, stay home, work at home. Don't come in. We're not going to say that you're not a team
player.
Right. Well, but again, that's what I'm hoping for. But the other thing is that, and this is something that only came to mind where I was checking out Stephen Aquino's Twitter feed to see if he had actually commented on the Apple news yet. And he retweeted something that was very, very potent about how someone who had posted someplace about how, you know, if you, yes, sure, if you want, you can, if you, working from home is a career limiting choice because people, if you're not there face to face, if your bosses and your boss's bosses aren't there, then, you know, if you be happy being just a worker drone bee for the rest of your life. But, you know, that culture needs to go away too, because not only because there are people who have mobility issues and can't come into work like three or four times a week. And so basically that attitude is saying that anybody who cannot physically be present 5 days a week, 8 hours a day is going to be career limited, but also, it's just insane that you're being judged on FaceTime and not on stuff that you're actually doing. There's so much that we're rewriting, I'm hoping, about our relationship to work. And I think that unionizing is just one of them. Working from home is another. And the idea of making sure that your health and the group health is more important than whatever somebody's bingo card is as a manager is for that week and that quarter.
Although, remember the Cook doctrine, which I was reminded of again with this Trip Mickle book. One of the points, we believe in deep collaboration and cross-pollination of our groups, which allow us to innovate in a way others cannot, although it is ironic that Apple has such firewalls between groups.
Yeah. I wasn't here last week because I was working on a project, and in that project it was a hybrid. So we were basically sitting in with some of the folks that were we were shooting on a stage. And what was interesting, though, is our audio is being managed from the Philippines, like the whole house, like all the routing, everything is all being managed from the Philippines. And this isn't, we're here in San Rafael, and the lighting is being handled from Maryland.
You're very advanced in this realm, however.
No, I understand that. But what I'm, the point, though, is we're all on comms, we're all talking.
In a way, this is what Office Hours has done, isn't it?
Yeah. No, these are all office hours folks that we now hire to, to do stuff. And so,
I mean, that's side effect. I don't know if you intended it, but that's a great side effect of this.
Absolutely what I intended.
Oh, okay. Smart man. Anyway,
smart. Yeah, so this is the easiest way to find the right people is to provide a lot of information. Anyway, so so we have this virtual. So the power was I get to pick the right people for that job,
regardless of their location.
And I'm not constrained by time or space. Yeah. And so that helps. But at the same time,
by the way, that should be your tagline on your business card: not constrained by time and space.
Yes, exactly. anyway, but the other side of it was how I was sitting with our technical director, the person cutting the show, and this is a person who has cut. You know, she cuts for Paul McCartney and that's what she's doing right now, I think, this week. Wow. And Metallica and all these folks. But the two of us are sitting there watching people move things around on the stage and just talking about ideas. And so I really got clear, like there was a real power to everyone being able to be in the show from anywhere. But there also really was this kind of informal, what they talk about, that informal, like we're just sitting there talking about ideas and coming up with, we need to think about this. And that might not happen if we were just on, just over comms, kind of thing. So it was definitely, I can see both sides of it, but I do think that for the most part, it's very limiting to have people like constrained to a geographic location is a painful constraint.
Well, one reason why you might not want to come to work at Apple on May 23rd is that's when Prehistoric Planet debuts.
I am so excited.
Five days. You got to watch every night. I am going to watch every night. The Apple had a big event at the AMC Century City IMAX in Los Angeles. Monday, 15th. Executive producers Jon Favreau, Mike Gunton were there, showrunner, lead scientific consultant.
Jon Favreau is so busy.
As someone who does a lot of shows like this, I have two things to say. One is, it's the nicest step and repeat I've ever seen. Like, it's a 3D step and repeat.
What's that?
All I could see when I saw that, it's their logos over and over again. It's the logos behind them it's a 3D. They actually built in 3D a step and repeat.
Oh, that's that thing that you see at all the premieres that everybody stands in front of.
But normally it's just a print, but I'm pretty sure that's a print.
3D, doesn't it?
I think they actually built it.
Everybody stood in front of?
No. I think that the cheapest and easiest way to do this, and especially in broke up lighting, would be to make it. So I think that was made.
That's hysterical.
That's so Apple.
Cool. That's so Apple.
So it's so over the top. But B, I'm kind of like, we could just let the step and repeat die because it's horribly,
tired. Plus it on the
just
the but worst. How else do you get the sponsors' names again?
I can tell you. You have to. We've done it. You build. You basically spike the ground and you build compartments for them to walk it. They walk and stop. And behind them is a very nice. When you do it with Instagrammers, this is how you do it. You don't do as much step and repeat. You do things that give them a frame that's great. And so what you do is you have a frame and it has your logo. It has your logo once. and you frame it so that they look good. It's obvious where they're from, but it looks super cool. And all they got to do, all the instructions you give them is go to your mark.
That's the
and
problem,
turn and
though.
Take
they
pictures.
They don't want to go to the mark, right?
Oh, they will. No, actors are really good at that, actually.
So, yeah, that's where the cameras. Here's a company in LA, stepandrepeatla.com, that has the standard step and repeats. But look, they do make some fun ones, right?
That's the one. Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff that you do is, and you build those. The step and repeats are just like, I've been doing this for a long time in the business.
I'm so bored.
At least 20
this.
Or 30 years. And I'm so tired. But I will say, in a tired environment, Apple did the best tired version of step and repeat I've ever seen.
I agree. I'm glad you called that out because I hadn't really paid any attention to it.
This is my life. Talking about
dinosaurs.
There's like weeks of distractions.
Trying to figure out, is that Jon Favreau in the middle? You're going, look at that step and repeat.
I was like, that took a lot of work.
On that he font. Was looking for green screen.
I looked at that.
That's how he knows
I was like, that step and repeat. That step and repeat cost 20 to 30 grand. Like, that's all I saw.
It looks like they got real moss and rocks.
No, I think they had someone, I think they modeled the rocks and they put the things on. It could be a print. Nice. We don't know, but it really looks like it's 3D. I mean, I think that they built it.
I got to get video from the event and then I can tell. Yeah. Let me play, though, because I do want everybody to know what we're talking about. David Attenborough narrates.
So
what
great.
Is basically like Planet Earth, but it's from the prehistoric times. Music by Hans Zimmer. I don't care if they're going to take us down. I'm going to play it. Go ahead. Take
so
me down.
Cloning them,
it's coming Monday. 5-day event, Monday through Friday next week on
there
Apple
There are many ways to describe life on this planet.
I love it they got Attenborough. Yeah. Sir David Attenborough. Richard. Is it Richard?
Some creatures Richard. Could be called magnificent.
Yeah. So
monstrous.
Is the nature real and then they've done a CGI of the...
maybe some, but probably a lot of it's all.
All CGI. Because you can't get the water moving and all that, right?
Some of it very well could be. It wouldn't be hard to insert it in. I mean, that's what we do.
What would you do this 3D in, Alex? Would this be...
I'll put money on this. Is all Maya and Houdini.
Yeah. I can't wait to see this.
Explore the coastlines where giants.
Apple TV is really getting there. They're creating so many of these event things that say, you know what, maybe I'll subscribe for a month and then cancel.
This is the time to jump on Netflix.
It's so
stumbling.
OG.
It's really the opportunity to
OG
say.
HBO.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not going to have the huge catalog. We understand. But we're going to do special 5-day events like this. You're going to really want a subscription.
Yeah, I mean, this also is just over the top.
Yeah. Also, I got the impression that maybe they're really into getting the packages going, because I got an email from them or a notice from them saying, hey, we noticed that you're subscribing to X, Y, and Z, and for you could save $10 a month if you just subscribe to Apple TV Plus and get everything for $29.
Well, that's
and
the advantage Apple has, right? Because unlike Netflix, they don't have to make money on Apple TV Plus. It's a loss leader.
Netflix has no iCloud.
Yeah. And immediately I thought, oh, isn't that nice? They're looking out for me. But then, A, they are looking out for me. But also, it's to their benefit to say that, hey, this person gets the entire package. So if they're getting everything, then there's less of a chance that they will cancel Apple TV after they are caught up on Ted Lasso. Or maybe they will not cancel Apple Arcade after a few months of not downloading something. So, yeah.
That's true. Because unlike Netflix, where you have to, you know, people will cancel because they've seen everything. Then there's something else in the Apple one package you want, and then there's something. So you could just rotate.
It's just easier,
I see.
So
yeah, you just rotate through them. All you need is something new in one of those five things. I think Severance, Slow Horses, they've done some really good stuff now.
The trailer for All Mankind 3 just dropped too, which, like, every year they go another decade, I think. Every season is another decade forward.
I have to say, I'm still not that crazy about the early stuff they did, but I think the newer stuff they're doing is really very, very good.
They found the groove, I think.
Yeah.
And importantly, I did look at some more photos, and I'm almost certain that that's a 3D step and repeat. And I up my up.
He's just zapruding the whole thing.
No, I just can't. I'm pretty sure if someone asked me to do this, I'm pretty sure it would be somewhere between 50,000 and 75,000. It's a really big step and repeat. It's like
holy
really long.
Cow.
And I was like, oh, that would be really expensive, because the rocks are modeled. The rocks are modeled.
Oh yeah, this is 3D. Look at this. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's all they built that. That's a model. Like, it's a miniature. I mean, it's
why not?
So amazing.
A little paper mache, some spray paint.
I really enjoy the level of over the top that Apple takes things. It's definitely
one of the stories in the Trip Mythical book is about the Apple Watch launch, and they were going to have it at De Anza Community College, which is kind of dumpy. They hadn't finished the campus yet, and Johnny's kind of like, there. I can't bring all these fashion people to a community college.
That gala is not held at a community college.
So he said, can we put a tent out front to show for the after event where we show people the watches?
Keep out the riffraff.
And they said, well, there's a lot of trees there. We could remove the trees, build a tent, and then replace the trees. Well, how much would that cost? $25 million? Do it.
Yeah.
So,
but Tim waited a while too. Like, Tim's just sitting there.
Yeah.
He's listening. Letting everyone think.
He's listening. Yeah. And it's a two-story tent. It's not your everyday. There was some concern apparently that it would look like a wedding tent. This white tent did not. I wasn't there.
I remember that. It was hilarious because there were a bunch of fashion people there, and the fashion PR people did not look like the tech. Like, they looked like the tech people all looked like me. They were like swirled like Egyptian goddesses. They had like three-dimensional hair arrangements, and they were sitting at the back with these tiny little coffee cups, going, "Oh, this really does feel like a fashion event. It really does have that feel." Yeah. And they were just talking amongst themselves about how good the vibe was.
And the structure, it was the opposite of a wedding tent. It really felt like almost a permanent structure that they designed from start to finish. And I will say that maybe it was my own ego, but it really did feel like you ink stained wretches don't get printer's ink and newsprint like on the fashion people. This is for the fashion people. This is for the riff. This other part is for the riffraff.
You know that there's a whole street in Davos that is pretty much stuff like that. So, you know, during WEF, and it's a funny thing because they'll build like these three-story buildings, like Facebook and a bunch of other folks. Yeah. And this idea of just building something up, and it starts building for a month, and then it's there for a week, and then it's gone. And there's a whole street that goes right down the main drag in Davos that like there's like four or five of these that are just these massive construction jobs. And they've gotten really good at, you know, they're all made from, they're all going to get recycled, and they come from recycled. You know, they're very careful about a lot of that, but it's an amazing thing to watch a parking lot get turned into a building.
Here's the tent. It's not exactly a tent.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
25 million.
That's like the new wing of the Geary.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy cow.
$25 million.
Here's what it looked like inside the tent. Let me see if I can find a picture of it.
It reminds me of that story about when Scott Forstall was sick and Steve just wouldn't stop coming to the hospital, and they eventually said, you can't keep doing this. And he said, well, I'll just buy the hospital then.
Yeah, he said, I'll build a wing with my name on. Well, he wanted, again, Trip Mickle, a lot of these little details probably have been revealed before, but it's fun to read it all together. Scott Forstall was just couldn't hold any food down or anything. Steve says, I'm going to bring my acupuncturist in for you. And Scott said, well, you can't, this is a hospital. He's got to be registered with. Steve said, I'll just buy him another wing.
Are you reading the Tony Fidel book too, Leo? I was reading them.
No, I got to read that, really, but I'm not interviewing Tony Fidel, but I feel like I should be, because of course, Tony's a big part of this book as well.
Joanna Stern just did a quick interview with him, and they had more expletives than I've ever heard from Joanna before, just because of the titles of the chapters in Tony's books were so. It's good. Like, it's like Tony's a real character, but he was there. He was like contracted, which is so funny. Like, Apple contracted out a large part of the iPod, which they would never do today. But he was contracted to run the iPod, and his, like, the big takeaway, which I thought was really interesting, was he's like, Apple and Google are so different. Obviously, he did much better at Apple than Google, but he's like, Apple failed. They failed over and over again, and it really taught them how to be tenacious, how to stick with things, how to focus, how to do one thing at a time. It's like, Google's been making ad money forever, so they're like, 15 different messenger products,
exactly.
No problem. We'll have 1,000 flowers.
Be sloppy.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
They've never been hurt, so they don't have the same discipline.
Right. Yeah, Here's the inside of that tent, by the way. The $25 million. I'm going to put tent in scare quotes because.
Well, this is what I was talking about here. That's one of the buildings.
Oh my God! That's at Davos. That's the Facebook.
That's temporary. That will go down, and it feels, when you walk in, it just feels like it's been there forever. It's just a parking lot.
That's amazing.
You drop it and it inflates around you. Is that how that works?
No, it does not. You're right. The all the things that Google starts and stops are not the things that generate revenue. Those are the things that they.
That's why they can be cavalier.
And they started making money almost almost from day one. They've been successful.
But the interesting things, like Apple just this year started building out teams that they had like one person on for 2 decades, because they were almost bankrupt like 2 or 3 decades ago. So they've never poured money into these departments, and now they're hiring teams for them finally, which is just.
Well, I think that there's definitely some like. Serious PTSD at Apple about what happened. Yeah. You know, the near-death experience, I think, affects especially the older executives a lot. Yeah. Like the people who were on the ship when it almost sank. It's like that 30s mentality of folks that, you know, my grandmother saved everything.
Well, and imagine.
You know, all the tinfoil.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she had
from
plenty
the depression,
of money.
Yeah. But imagine, because so Steve comes, saves it, and then dies. And that it was a second kind of trauma.
Yeah.
To them, we only survived because Steve came back. Now, what do we do? Is this going to happen?
Yeah, and I think nobody at Apple, I mean, no one in management takes it for granted, like takes the success for granted ever. Like
they're beautiful.
There's this constant fight.
I think this is also the reason why they kind of shake it off when people complain about, oh, Apple's lost its soul. It's putting all this effort into things like services. It's like, yeah, things that will continue to make the money almost for free without having to rely on the vicissitudes of a market response to hardware. It's like, you know, it's anything that helps Apple to continue to be profitable, to continue to be able to do whatever they want to do and survive is a really, really good thing.
One thing that always works is ads, and at the New Fronts, which is the digital ad upfronts that they had a couple of weeks ago, Amazon and Peacock both showed off, and you're going to like this, Alex, because you've been telling people to do this all along, ways to do product placement in already shot TV shows.
Yep.
So this is there's Tim Gunn, so some sort of fashion show, and there's an M&M's ad kind of put into a poster near it as a way of ad placement. And they're all going to do this in Amazon Prime.
They're not all going to. Well, they've been doing this for a while.
Oh, you think so?
I've worked on the tech 15 years ago.
Oh.
Like the interesting thing about streaming that makes this available is because we're sending you new segments all the time. We can recache those segments. I don't think that what they're actually doing is compositing in the app. Then they're not compositing that system.
It's after something's shot. It's when it's going to be streamed out. So it's like digital ad insertion as it streams out. They call it. They say it's in beta. The virtual product placement tool from Amazon lets advertisers place their branded products directly into streaming content after they've already been filmed. Peacock's new in-scene ads will identify key moments within a show. I kind of hate this idea. And digitally insert a brand's customized messaging or product post-production.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of filmmakers that bristle at the artist intent.
Yes.
It's going to be a little bit difficult to deal with.
I made my movie and now there's an ad.
But there is a lot of...
Remember at the end of Iron Man when he ate he went to he went to Burger King. Yeah. But now they can bid that out. So the next time that goes on Disney
Plus, go to Wendy's.
They can just...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'll use Descript to just deepfake his voice. So he'll be saying Wendy's instead of saying Burger King. This goes so deep, Leo.
And the way that you make this, there's a couple different ways to make it work. One is obviously that you just redo the piece, but that's cost prohibitive to like redo the effects. But what you can do, and you'll notice that where they put it, they can't put it everywhere. You know, there's certain things that work well and don't work well in, but you can build a layer that basically says this is a layer and this is the movement of that layer in 3D. And these are the elements that sit over top of that layer. And all you have to do is put a new image in for that layer and it will immediately, like the next time it renders out, the next time it sends it out, it can send that out. And that can be done at the server. So basically you have, let's say, an AWS server that's sitting there and it can do that composite because it's actually a really simple composite for the server because it's got all the alpha channels and everything else it needs.
But that's also why it's not a Coke can on the table so much as a Coke ad on a flat surface.
It can be a Coke can. So what you have to do with the Coke can itself is when you shoot it, you shoot it with trackers so that you are going to composite that in later.
Match move.
You have to do, it means that in post you have to, you know, replace the can, but it also means that you have all the morph information and everything else and you can replace it anytime you want.
Match the camera movement.
You'd
kind of want a static shot though, right? It'd be a lot easier.
Everything is fake in the new movies.
No, it doesn't need to be static at all.
Oh, wow.
Because what you do is you just have to build all the layers. Because what you'll do is like if someone's walking in front of it, you have to rotoscope them out. And so then you rotoscope that foreground element through it, you know, and a lot of this is shot in green screen. So it's even easier than that because you already have the alpha channel, but you're still going to end up rotoscoping is like used in like 80% of the effect shots done. Anyway, so you cut these layers out that are going to be in front of it. You can set its motion blur. You can set all the things that it would have if it was moving because that track only has to happen once. Once you have the tracking data for that segment that you're going to insert that ad, it can be just added. You're just changing the layer that's being affected. So, and then hitting render. And so it just puts in all the stuff that it needs to. And it has all the lighting information. It has all the things that are there. So it's definitely something that can be done. Now, we did it. When we were working on this 15 years ago, you know, some of the lighting, you know, it was more difficult and we ended up kind of doing it by hand, but you could do it very quickly. You just throw it in and make it go. But at this point, you could definitely do it in a server. And the main thing is that as you do those composites, they're seamless because they were basically built that way for the show. And you're just taking all that information back out and then putting it all back in, you know, to the thing. So it can be actually it can be 3D objects ornate. Or organic objects, pretty hard. Not impossible, but pretty hard. But cans and signs and like the place that you really do this is you throw it on the signs in the background on a street.
Yeah, exactly. But
that stuff's easy. But it doesn't have to be static. It can definitely be moving. It can do all those other things, and you'll be able to blend it right in. It'll work fine.
You may have already seen it according to Prime, Amazon Prime, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, Bosch Legacy, Reacher, and Leverage Redemption all have had virtual product placement in them.
Yeah, it's like, is Ted Lasso going to have the sponsors on the shirts changed every season now? Like windowing?
That kind of stuff is hard.
So logo on it.
That stuff is hard. It's not impossible, but it's much harder. What's easier is the planar or anything that's around a simple shape, like a cylinder, a plane, you know, those kinds of things are much easier. Shirts moving, not impossible, because what you're doing is basically building the morphing maps or the
so
distortion maps.
So I was watching like the Avengers Endgame. They said that they hadn't finished the costume designs yet for the time travel suits, so none of those are real. Every 90% of the costumes were all done in CGI, and so they could probably just change the map, re-render it.
They can. You can do that to some degree, but it depends on whether you did that that in the first place, because what makes this work is all the post process that someone did by hand to get it set up. But once it's set up, you're right that you can just swap the, you know, a lot of times you'll just be able to swap those layers. And what's interesting about that is that you can do it for each person. So everybody's seeing different ads and different, and I, by the way, I'm telling you that this is possible. I think it's a horrible idea. Like, I don't want to ever watch this.
You know, if I'm Martin Scorsese, I'm just saying, I don't want to see ads for Jurassic Park
It's like 19 Roger Stadiums already.
Yeah. It's less that and more of like swapping a Pepsi sign for a Coke sign, or swapping you know, putting in a Toshiba instead of Subway or something like that. It's less of a something that's part of the story and more of just something most
of the background. Yeah.
But I still think I think it's crass and I would never want to do it. But technically it's very doable. The interesting thing is when you know that you're inserting it, the thing that I got into and then I got out of because I didn't like the idea once I dug deep into it. is imagine having a second screen experience where you're watching that ad. Now we know what ad you're watching, when you're watching it, and we give you the ability to buy it on your phone while you're watching the movie. You know, like that's the golden.
Oh, that's already happening. I can't remember. Is it Vizio? There's TVs where you're watching a show and they pop up a thing. Would you like to buy that on your TV's doing it, which is really
annoying. It goes to you. You're the only one getting
that ad. No, that's right. Because it's coming from your smart TV, which knows what you're watching, and then pops up a lower third. And so you can click it. It knows it's you. You can click it, and you're buying it because it's you. It's your credit card.
How far are we from actor replacement? The contract negotiation breaks down. They replace the actor in the first film with the actor in the second film. Just nothing's going to be
I think we know all of this stuff's going to be here. Netflix is already saying we're going to put ads in by the end of the year. I mean, these companies...
Well, they're trying
apparently
to figure
need
out
to monetize this.
Well, it's the issue that they have. It's not just
subscription
them.
Costs.
Well, the other issue is that for brands, they are getting cut out of advertising at a record rate.
Right.
So they are desperate. It's not only can we do it technologically and can we make extra revenue, but the brands are just desperate to get in front of people because we're basically many people like me live in an almost ad free environment.
Yeah,
like I pay extra and I'm almost untouched by ads at any given time.
Right. Yeah, that's increasingly the case, isn't it? So it's driven partly by advertisers. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll pay a lot of money for that.
Only $7 a month, and you don't have to have ads in any of our shows.
Exactly.
Just join Club Twit.
And Leo's replaced with a Burger King burger.
Even on Patreon, there are channels that I support, A, because I want to support the channel, but also because I don't want to hear about that wallet again. You know, it's worth $3 a month to me to get the ad-free version of it. And this is good for the services, and this is good for Patreon, and this is good for Netflix and Hulu, that I can pay extra for ad-free experiences. But yeah, people are going to get more and more desperate to get ads in front of us. And people are surprised to find out that, well, here is why, like, this TV that has pretty much the same display panel from LG as this other TV that costs $400 more. That's because they're collecting and selling so much information about you while you're watching this exact same experience with the exact same panel. And that's going to be like the really creepy thing when you don't have the ability to say, guess what, TV, I connected you to Wi-Fi so you could download the latest firmware, but now I've changed my firmware, my Wi-Fi password. You don't get to talk to anybody for any reason except for I ask you to do something. And then later on,
DVD player because it played ads. DVD player played ads, the Blu-ray player. It was like you buy a Samsung player or a JVC, and it would play ads on top of your DVDs. Blu-rays.
Yeah, and it's why for me, other than my DVD player, my Apple TV is the only thing allowed to talk to the internet. So all my other electronics, I'm like, no, you don't get to do that. I have one thing that does that, and thank you very much.
My NVIDIA Shield is in many ways the cheapest $150 I ever spent.
Actually, and then a lot of creators that don't want brand names in their shows. This Anthony Nielsen just sent me this link to an old BuzzFeed article about a prop shop, ISS Prop House, that sells Let's potato chips. The $40 a big bag, $20 for a small bag. And now this is old, but it shows up in a lot of shows. It's Arrested Development, Orange is the New Black, New Girl, because they don't want real potato chips, I guess. The middle, two broke girls.
Not- Yeah. Yeah, it's not just
My
that.
Name
it's,
is Earl.
It's,
Ugly Betty.
It's also, you don't have the license. If you have a commercial property
you can't
and you're
put
putting that
Lay's
into it.
Potato chips in there because you don't own it. Yeah.
So we, a lot of times we also, what we call Greek it out, where you take take a Sharpie and fill in things so that it doesn't
look
say
like
anything.
It's
or
nice,
you,
but it's not. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, and like we had my server room is in what was the old print graphics room. And so you print things out, you know, and put them on things that are going to look like it. And sometimes a lot of design goes into it. And sometimes you just buy it from Letts.
No, it's great. There are entire companies that do nothing but like secure the IP, the trade dress, everything for fictional brands, just so that they can license a clean soda can, a clean airline. There's a reason why Oceanic is the airline of choice whenever a disaster happens in a movie, because again, they develop the logos, the trade dress, everything. They have trademarks. They know that's not conflicted with any other sort of airline, and so it's a one-stop shopping. It's one of those fun things, like the ninth time you've watched a movie that you really, really like, you realize that, hey, wait a minute. I saw someone reading that exact same magazine 6 years ago.
I just know I'm never flying Oceanic, no matter what. I don't care.
That's a bad one. Yeah. Well, or at least you know, you'll have fun like the first three seasons. After that, it's just going to go way downhill, the experience.
As soon as the hatch opens, it's over.
More to come in just a bit. Our show today brought to you by Melissa, the address experts. If you're in business, you know you got your address book, you know your contacts, your customer list, your supplier list. The people you send bills to, you want to make sure that information is correct. But on average, poor data quality can cost organizations $15 million each and every year because addresses change. And the longer poor quality data stays in your system, the more losses you can accumulate. Your customer information has to be accurate. You need Melissa, a leading provider of global data quality and address management solutions. It's important for customer service. You address a customer with the wrong name or say, do you live in Boca Raton? No, I live in Miami. The customer already frustrated can get even more angry. Melissa's real-time identity verification service can also help. The identity solutions are great for security. You can have identity, ID, and document verification, age authentication, global watchlist screening to establish the identity of a consumer or satisfy AML and KYC compliance. You can easily tailor the service to your specific sign-up process and risk management requirements to ensure fast onboarding or e-commerce checkout while protecting you against fraud. You'll reduce risk. You'll ensure compliance. You'll keep customers happy. 2.1 billion clean, validated records in Melissa's database. You're going to ensure compliance in the areas of anti-money laundering and politically exposed persons and the Bank Secrecy Act. You can score and target customers with detailed demographic and firmographic data appends. Complete customer records with missing names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses. And, of course, Melissa cares about your data as much as you do. That's why they undergo independent security audits to make sure they are secure, safe, and compliant. SOC 2, HIPAA, GDPR compliant. Melissa's global address verification service can verify addresses for more than 240 countries and territories, and they can do it even at the point of entry. On-prem, SaaS, FTP, there's a fantastic API, which means you can write Melissa's code right into your own software, your customer service software, or your shopping cart. You could do batch address cleaning, upload it to an FTP server, a secure FTP server, get it cleaned and downloaded again. Of course, it's great for geocoding. You can convert addresses into latitude and longitude. Email verification can remove up to 95% of bad email addresses from your database. Try it. The Lookups apps on iOS and Android will let you search addresses, names, and more at your fingertips. That's Lookups from Melissa. Melissa's amazing. Make sure your customer contact information is up to date. Names, emails, addresses. Try Melissa's APIs in the developer portal. It's easy to log on, sign up, and start playing in the API sandbox 24/7. In fact, you can get started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free. All you gots to do is go to melissa.com/twit. M-E-L-I-S-S-A. Melissa.com/twit. Thanks, Melissa, for supporting Mac Break Weekly. You support us too when you use that address, so please do. Melissa.com/twit. Apple is now going to let, this is, I think, more like a word of warning, developers automatically increase your subscription prices within limits.
It's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
I just want to say, like, I read this and I can't unpack, like, how this is okay. Like, you know, I get that developers want to increase it, but it's a lot of 50% or $50 is a big jump. And I think that developers would be crazy to do this without, it says it's going to notify people, but, you know, there's
Apple will always notify users of the increase in advance via email, push notification, and a message. But a developer who said, okay, it's $50 a year for my thing, you're paying it, you got automatic renewal, and all of a sudden it's $75
or $100
or $100.
There's already so many subscription scams already on the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder who. Not necessarily demanded, but said, here's how much money we're generating for the store. We would very, very much like it if we had this ability to do this.
It used to be opt-in. It's now opt-out, so you should be aware of. Disney Plus increased its price to $7.99 a month last month. There was a notification that was an alert rather than an opt-in choice. That was, I think, the first time anybody had seen this.
I think it's probably Netflix. Disney and Netflix, and yeah, I think that a lot of them are...
Yeah,
yeah, they're... They want to be able to do that.
Well, and I don't think it's going to be $50 or 50%, but I do think
they just
Netflix
want to be able to increment it by $1
to add
$1 or
$2 every once in a while. Yeah.
The scammers will be, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's a good point. Yeah. So be a little bit more aware, I guess, of what you're paying.
It just erodes faith. Like previously, you could just set it and forget it. Like I got my subscription. Like that was a nice part about using the App Store. All your subscriptions are in one place. You could set them up. They wouldn't be like auto renewing or all these other stuff you have to put up with web based renewals. You wouldn't have to call a phone number. And now it's one degradation. That's the right word. It erodes the trust experience that the App Store is supposed to provide.
I agree.
Yeah. But according to Ming-Chi Kuo, Apple's working on a USB-C port. Won't be till next year, but iPhone 15 could be USB-C. Do you think this is credible?
Yeah, I think it's 2 years too late. It's absolutely credible, especially if the wireless stuff isn't working the way they want and the EU is breathing down their necks. And they announced ProRes last year, which has 6 gigabytes per minute of footage, and this year it's going to go to 8K, which is going to be even bigger, and it's still USB 2.0 speeds on Lightning, and something has to give, because it's like, and not everyone is Alex, not everyone can have like 4 iPhones and just throw them behind their backs at a PA who'll go and take all the stuff off for them as they start filming with the next one as though their cartridges. Most people have like 1 iPhone if they want to use it for any of this professional stuff. Like you're sitting there, it's like that joke Steve Jobs made about, we need FireWire on the iPod because the other person has 5 hours to load up a CD and we can do it in 1 minute. And this is the opposite of that. So it's just, it wasn't tenable anymore.
They'll have to get rid of Lightning everywhere, though, right? I mean, if I'm not going to carry a Lightning cable.
They're going to, yeah. They're going to get rid of it on the Magic Mouse.
What happened to the rumor that we're going to get rid of ports entirely?
Well, here's the thing is I think that you could see them going two different directions. The pro versions have USB-C, and the more basic models end up with no ports at all. And I think that might be because there is, if you're a pro and you're putting tons of content on it, there's a real reason that you need USB-C. And if it's a smaller one, they may decide that you don't need the speed that speed on a real-time basis. Mm-hmm.
If you have the lesser models, ones that are cheap, those the people who are buying the $449 iPhone because they can't afford the $800 iPhone, those are the people who need to be able to use the $9 charger instead of the $30 Qi charger or the special thing that has the pogo pins on it.
I don't know. I just think that, to me, that seems like the place that they would do it. I don't know whether they should or not.
The SE will be Lightning for the next 10 years, though. Like that'll be the last one to change. The 349 iPad is still Lightning, even though all the other ones are USB-C.
So you're going to have a period of confusion and upset, probably.
Like when they changed from 30-pin, like when they went from FireWire to 30-pin and 30-pin to Lightning.
Right.
They might even dog food it on the most exclusive and expensive model. Like if they have the model that's starts at $1,200 and has a million wonderful things on it, and then they get to the part where they say, and it's the most dust resistant, water resistant, maintenance free one we've had because we've finally gotten rid of we've done the brave thing and gotten rid of all power plugs. And when people say that, well, but I need to get a way to get my 8K video off their front. Well, that's way we've got this really great pogo pin sled that will actually give you full like Intel Thunderbolt speeds instead of dealing with USB 3 or USB 3.2. So it would be a way to test the waters while exploiting people who would kind of maybe fancy the idea of, Jenkins, why, you still have an iPhone that has a charging port on it. Oh, how quaint. I remember what that was like.
Ooh. Yeah. So we need the cable. We're the ones who need it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that because the people who buy it are really the ones that are going to use the higher bandwidth, I think it probably wouldn't match up.
Okay. We'll see. You know, with all of these rumors, you know, you just have to kind of wait and see. It could.
I mean this seriously, Alex. What if, like, they really did that? They went all the way and said, we understand that the people who are buying this for this again, they're already giving you a list of all the things that make this great for shooting 4K video. But if they said that instead of, like, harping on the fact that it doesn't have a data or a charge port, so that we basically gave this a Thunderbolt dock that gives you all the things you need in the field to instantly transmogrify whatever it is on that phone to something in the destination you needed to go to. Yeah, if they offered a dock like that, would that sort of ameliorate the problem?
No, because of this.
Okay.
Is that when we're shooting with these things and they have to be all self-contained and we need the wires for power. And
okay. What are you holding up, Alex? Is that an iPhone?
No, this is a small rig, basically skeleton around an iPhone, and it's got a handle on it. And this we're building these huge rigs to cover some events coming up. And so but this is why.
You need to power the iPhone.
And the problem is the people who buy those are also the people that are in, you know, that are in media and so on and so forth. And the gnashing of teeth would be so brutal that Apple would never get over it. Like, it would just, like, people would be so rough about it. And they're the people who can be rough that I think that Apple would probably take the USB-C would be the last. The USB-C everybody wants at this point because we need more speed and we need more power and we need more, you know, we're used to it on our iPads and we're like, okay, this lightning thing is for the birds, you know. And so I think that on the high end, we're all ready for USB-C, and also that we don't care about, like, buying a bunch of new cables because I have racks and racks and racks, right, of USB-C cables.
Do you think people are disappointed with wireless? I feel like Apple was all in on wireless, and now
I don't even like it on my watch. It slips off, and then right. I suddenly don't have a charge.
It's slow.
I don't like it at all.
It's a waste of power.
Yeah.
It's hard to do it right. It's, you got to position it perfectly.
But you get bashed if you don't offer it at the same time.
Like, you have to offer it, but
OnePlus doesn't put wireless on it. People lose their
minds. I do feel like Apple's reluctant to go wireless only.
They're dogfooding it on the Apple Watch. Like, the Apple Watch has no service port anymore. Apple has these special high-speed wireless connectors for servicing them now. And that's probably what they're thinking of including into MagSafe for the next generation of iPhones. But it's just like, again, like, they made a chip that can render ProRes. They made a storage controller fast enough to record it. They made no I/O controller fast enough to get it off. And wireless, and those, like, they have to decide. They're a creative pros company, or they're like the wireless future of mainstream marketing companies. And those things are at tension. Those things are opposite ends of the spectrum. They are not, to Alex's point, they're not what pros want. Pros want hard wires. We want the Matrix. We want Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. And they could make a wonderful consumer iPhone. Like, it's wireless charging for, like, even for nerds is incredibly popular because you're willing to trade convenience for speed and for the optimization for the efficiency of the charge. People love the wireless charging systems, so let the mainstream love them, and then people who are trying to do work on them, just let us plug in.
Yeah. By the way, Apple, it turns out, thanks to somebody in our Discord chat, Roikyo, thank you, Roikyo, is famous for its step and repeats that are not...
That's great.
Isn't that great? This is the servant.
That's the first one I've seen, and so, that's killer.
And it's so got an open door as you go, you know, as you're an innie. Here's, this is Pachinko. That's okay, but it's got, at least it's got some grass.
Meh.
This one, it's got astronaut suits on the wall.
Nothing like the prehistoric one was at a whole different level.
This one, just seamless, no big deal.
But no, look. No, this is what I'm talking about, though. This is the ones we've done in the past. So, no, they don't have a mark to stand on, but you can see that they didn't do step and repeat there. They gave one big logo. Now, they are using, I think that they are using those boxes to subtly kind of set, well, I see they're designing around the soccer field or whatever. But again, there's a step and repeat further down, but this is, we've done ones that are all like that right behind the actress there, where they're just big logos behind it. And that's fine.
Right.
Like, brand it. I don't say don't brand it. I'm just saying the step and repeat is just so 80s, you know, and not in a good way.
These are all from the Apple TV Plus subreddit. Somebody put these all together. Here's the shrink. Great. They've got a window, you know, into the office, a disco ball for We Crashed.
And again, like, not look, not step and repeat, though. Like, it's...
No, it's, you know, it's something much more interesting. Yes. And then here's Amazon and Netflix.
Look, see, that shot is exactly right. Like, you have to show off the clothes. There are people who are like, this is they're part posing. Of their business as a celebrity that they get clothes from top designers. Right. So if they say, why did I understand that having like a giant toilet seat really summed up the movie, but this doesn't really show off my Blanca whatever gown.
These are all, though, I agree with you, Alex. I mean, come on. Come on, man.
And then white and black are the worst, because people bring... So you never use white and black, because white makes it hard to expose everybody correctly, and black, half the people show up in black, and then they just fade into the away. Background.
This looks,
so you always want to do
this
something
looks
else.
Good, and I think you can still see the fashion... You know,
yeah, no,
Jared
Leto
and Anne Hathaway,
fun.
Yeah. For We Crashed.
I mean, you know why they were, you know why they're there. I mean, this is, again, I think that like that Ted Lasso one, the prehistoric one, other than it being a step and repeat, like if it just been one big motif or whatever.
Right.
But otherwise.
I like Servant. This one's good.
They just built a dinosaur.
This one's really good. Isn't that great? They've got like a hallway and doors opening, the white light behind the door. And that's nice.
I want to interview
that. Closing for your own iPod ad.
Yeah. That's the Johnny Ive room inside there.
I don't know if I should bring this up, but apparently Dolby now has Dolby Atmos for podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Of course, you knew that, Alex. We've done surround sound. We did Dolby Atmos 15 years ago on this show. You did it. For
maybe not Atmos, maybe surround.
It was surround. Yeah, so, you know what it was? It was Dolby Atmos headphone is what it was. Dolby headphone.
Right.
Back in the day, that was something that didn't last.
Where this really works are the ones that are adding effects to their podcast. So if you do, you know, if you do a podcast, you can kind of get away with it. Like, oh, I'm going to put people in different places. And it does. The one thing about it is that when you put people in different places in your broadcast, it's actually easier for people to understand.
Yeah.
If you were over on the right.
And I were kind of over in the middle. I mean, as you are on the video set.
Right. It's nice. It's a nice little thing. But where it really stands out is if you take a This American Life and you grab all the location records
that would be amazing. Yeah.
Now, you know, we've done some testing in this area and it's amazing because now it puts you in a whole different world.
Right.
Like you're suddenly hear all the environment. And so then you start, you basically take those ambient, like, so when you go out to do a location, instead of taking just a regular microphone. You might take that microphone to interview the person, but you also have an ambio mic that is grabbing everything. And then you're able to kind of pull it back in, or you're grabbing specific samples. Now, and in this case, you can sample things out and then put them in places inside of Atmos.
Most people won't be listening on equipment that supports it. It'll still sound fine in mono or stereo, right?
Well, it'll fold down. Atmos will fold down into binaural if you have an Apple player. I will admit, I know how to generate that content. I don't know how to distribute it. I haven't tried to do that. So there's a couple extra files that it wants you to... I was reading through that article. I don't know how that gets packaged up properly for, you know, the podcast app or whatever.
Because you need an MXF file in addition or something?
It's not an it's a couple other files that are there to describe that.
Instead of just an MP3. It's not an MP3, in other words. Well,
that's
wait a minute, though.
Like.
Apple does it.
I think it has to be
Apple
packaged.
Does it with music. It's just an AAC file.
Yeah, so I think you generate those things, and then they generate something that's encapsulated. I don't know enough about that yet. But the main thing is it should be able to be – it will eventually be a file that you have to deal with. But I don't know – I haven't actually tried to distribute it. I just have worked on it, you know, in developing the content. The big thing – the cool thing is that it really does – it is immersive, and it will – you will be able to hear it in your headphones if you have an Apple device. This is the best part about Apple, an Apple device made in the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, it's like they all have the ability to do this. And so, I mean, it might be up to 5 years now. Anyway, so the point is that they can take that Atmos and then they can put it where it needs to go. And again, if you're adding effects, if you're adding those kinds of things, it's very atmospheric. You know, it definitely makes you feel like you're there.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
There's certainly some kind of more theatrical shows and so forth. But I would like to do it. When we did it, it was very cool, but no one could really hear it because you had to have a Dolby headphone decoding. Headphones and all that stuff.
We're about to add some 5.1 to what we're doing with office hours.
But we
were talking about having a whisper mic where, because I'll just be like and put it like in the left surround or right surround behind you.
ASMR.
And then I'll just be like, I don't believe that Andy knows what he's talking about. You know, like you have this like whisper in the back,
Andy Cohen of Bravo, when he does those shows,
thank you for calling
that Andy Cohen out.
And then Andy's like,
can I have a voice of God, Mike?
Alex is crazy. Don't listen to him. You know, and we just have these little like add things in the back. It'd be funny.
Oh, but we do truck back.
Well, all right. You can use Apple's Logic, Ableton Live, Blackmagic, DaVinci Resolve, Innuendo from Steinberg. There's a number of DAWs that will work to do this. Okay. It's Mac OS only right now, which is interesting. PC support is coming.
PC support, by the way, PC support for Atmos is hard.
Is it? Isn't that interesting?
PC and Android. Mm. Well, it's because Microsoft was too cheap to, you know,
they didn't want to buy.
You don't get the license. Apple has all the licenses in there, so Microsoft didn't want to pay for it. And they would be a bigger bill for them too. So, but
a lot bigger. You know,
yeah. So, like so it's because it's not supported. It's not Dolby. It's because it's not supported. You know, in the OS, and so it's a real pain. And so Android is just, I mean, both of those are just hard to do that in right now because they're also very fragmented.
I really wish that immersive audio were easier to understand. Like even when I'm talking about it, like on NPR or whatever, it is so much freaking work to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. You're not imagining this because you have this hardware, you're running this app and this streaming service. And I mean, you're right. Now, Apple's biggest leap was to put that in the OS, so that a lot of the decoding is just simply part of the OS services.
Well, and
Android
and
Android's getting it later in the year, but it's like it's so confusing. Oof. when there are times, oh my god, I'm really hearing and experiencing this sound. Then oh wait, I don't have Atmos turned on. Okay, sorry. it's just I cleaned my ears before I listened.
Well, and it's also Apple does a lot of stuff that you know makes it sound like it's doing something. You know, they do a lot of processing to bump stereo to something that feels more surround as well. And so it can be hard to distinguish between those, even for those folks who do it all the time. But you know, the main thing is that it's, you know, Apple has the advantage that they standardized on this a long time ago, as opposed to, you know, they rolled it out publicly, you know, last year, but they standardized it a long time ago. So a lot of the devices, the vast majority of devices are already supporting it, and it's easy for Apple, you know, and it's not, the other platforms are going to be hard, and they're going to continue to be hard because they're really fragmented and people don't upgrade. And, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, when you look into those markets, it's just, you know, how much impact can you actually get? But on the Mac platform, it's pretty cool. Or on the Apple ecosystem.
Hey, some exciting news. I see, Alex, you're going to do a Club Twit AMA next month. That's exciting.
Yes. Yeah,
July 14th. Coming up in a couple of weeks, the book club, Termination Shock. I give you some warning because this one's a long book. Stacy's book club will be Termination Shock by Neal Stephenson. I'm told it's a great book. Are you finished with it, John? Halfway through his second read. You're an overachiever. And coming up this Thursday, did you know that we have a VP of operations? I didn't. I can't wait to hear the interview with some guy named Jerry Wagley. I know Jerry. So that'll be we do these events in the club, which is great. As I mentioned earlier, you can get ad-free versions of all our shows. That also means tracker free. You can get access to the Discord, the special events, and the Twit Plus feed. $7 a month. twit.tv/clubtwit. Club Twit members have made it possible for us to launch new shows like This Week in Space. There's another one I'm very excited about we're working on. We have the Untitled Linux show. Right now, that's still in the club because I don't think we can get advertiser support for it, but the club members support it, and that's what really matters. twit.tv/clubtwit. Our show today brought to you by Our Crowd. think there are a lot of people out there who are looking for, especially with the stock market doing what it's doing and Bitcoin doing what it's doing, are looking for other ways to invest. Maybe you've watched, as I have, venture capitalists and friends of mine like Kevin Rose make it big by getting in early on startups. Well, our crowd is a venture capital company, a venture capital fund as well, that is giving you access to private market investments, pre-IPO, pre-exit investments. Normally, you wouldn't have access to this unless you were a venture capitalist. Well, they are. They analyze companies across the global private market. They select those with the greatest growth potential, and then they let you in on it. Now, you have to be an accredited investor, so you must go to ourcrowd.com/MacBreak. Enter the country you're in to find out what the rules are for that. Usually it's something like net worth or yearly income, but it varies from country to country. So many interesting pre-exit startups, and our crowd has access to them all. They have what they call deal flow, from personal medicine to cybersecurity to robotics and quantum computing and more. In state-of-the-art labs, startup garages, anywhere in between, our crowd is identifying innovators so you can invest when the growth potential is the greatest early. Our crowd's accredited investors have already invested over $1 billion in growing tech companies. Many of their members have benefited from the 46 IPOs or sale exits of investments. Now you could truly diversify your portfolio by investing in innovative private market companies at our crowd. Now, I want to give you the rules of the road. You have to be an accredited investor. You can participate in single company deals for as little as $10,000 or one of our crowd's funds for as little as $50,000. A minimum of $10,000 is required to invest. And as I said, the investment terms will vary depending on where you invest. You'll find out more information when you go to the site and input the country you're investing from. I think this is a really interesting way to add to your portfolio. Join the fastest growing venture capital investment community, Our Crowd, O-U-R-C-R-O-W-D, ourcrowd.com/MacBreak. ourcrowd.com/MacBreak. Thank you so much for supporting MacBreak Weekly, Our Crowd. And if you go there, by the way, it's free to sign up, and you can go there and you can find out all about it. But do use that address, ourcrowd.com/MacBreak. I think tis time for your picks of the week. Let me start with Andy Ananko.
My pick is a book, autobiography that I bought a while ago, but didn't get around to listening until a couple of weeks ago. It is Mel Brooks' latest memoir, All About Me, My Remarkable Life in Show Business.
Oh, did this just come out?
No, it actually came out late last year.
Oh, but still new. Oh, I'd love.
Still newish, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really is amazing and hugely entertaining. You've seen him on interviews, and he tells a lot of the same stories over and over again. And yeah, in this book, he does tell a lot of those stories you've probably heard before. You will find out exactly how the 2,000-year-old man sketch was invented. You will find out about. You will hear a lot of these things over and over again. The thing is, I don't think he's done a book before where it really did the entire scope of his career. And he just has so many cool stories to tell. I intentionally bought the Audible book because it is narrated by him over 14 hours. And what do you want more than like the most jolly joke teller in the world who's devoted his entire life to just mischief and humor and being funny to tell you stories of his 95 years in existence over 14 hours. The only complaint I have is that it would be great if I don't think he's an introspective sort of guy. So he's not going to talk about like, he glosses over when he talks about the producers, he glosses over in like a sentence that, oh, well, I was desperate. I had this new wife I was trying to support. My career was like pretty much over. So I really desperately needed this. And you think that, oh, well, tell us about that. Tell us like what you're.
Yeah. What you'd like to hear more about that. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just like context setting. He's not talking about like, things like culture in 2022 and how difficult it would have been to do a movie like Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles today. That would have been kind of fun, but okay, maybe that's too much to ask for. That's something for a future biographer to go for. But it's just 14 hours of the most entertaining stuff. It's also a good book in that you don't really have to consume it all like in 1, 2, or 3 day period. You can really dip in and out of it because it's just a sequence of really, really funny stories.
I love showbiz bios. And I have to say, when you listen on Audible and the guy who wrote it is reading it, let me just hear what Mel Brooks sounds like at 95.
Or a train. Or hitchhike to somewhere so he can get a boat to go to America. Believe me, nobody is going to pick him up. So let's say he's lucky enough to find a boat.
Oh, I gotta listen to this. Yep. This is like you're in a deli. He's sitting there telling you stories about his life. I gotta get that.
Also, I really think you're missing something when he's talking about his time in the Catskills, and he's not, and you don't hear him doing
his
voice of elderly Jewish people at Catskills Resort. You're really missing out.
Oh, I love it. All About Me, My Remarkable Life in Show Business, Mel Brooks. It's, of course, hardcover, Kindle, but Amazon. I mean, Audible lets you listen to the great Mel Brooks. Renee Ritchie, pick of the week.
So mine is a quick one, but Swift Playgrounds was another one of the things that Apple updated. And the big announcement to Swift Playgrounds was earlier in the year coming to iPad, where you could for the first time build iPad apps in Swift Playgrounds for the iPad and then submit them to the iPad App Store. So that all, you know, joke about what's a computer? Well, you know, some people believe a computer is something that you can use to actually make apps for the computer that you are using. And Apple finally checked that button with Swift Playgrounds for iPad. And now a lot of those features have also come to Swift Playgrounds for the Mac. And on the Mac, you have Xcode, which is fine. So some people are wondering, like, why have Swift Playgrounds? But it's all about making this sort of pathway for people to get more immersed and better and build skills at coding. And to me, it feels like you have iMovie on iPad, which is really accessible, direct manipulation. You slice with your finger, all of those things. And then you can move to iMovie on the Mac. Or if you only have a Mac, you can use iMovie on the Mac. And then you can go to Final Cut Pro. And the same thing with GarageBand on iOS, GarageBand on the Mac, and then Logic Pro on the Mac. It makes this really nice path to get to build and get better at these skills. And now we have the same thing for code. So you can use Swift Playgrounds, Swift UI, all of those things on the iPad. You can use them now in full parity on the Mac. And then you can very easily move that over to full-on Xcode when you get more confident, more skills, or you just start building apps that require full-on Xcode to do it. And I love that Apple is still, you know, pouring a lot of effort and into this space, because it was sort of not a glaring omission, but it wasn't as easy a path as it should have been. And coding is such an important language for people to learn, at least to have some understanding of, especially as the discussion swirls around with, in silly topics like algorithmic transparency and things like that. Not that that's silly, but the way the conversation has been on Twitter recently has been super silly. But just so people understand and know and have some sort of agency over code. So if you have an iPad or you have a Mac, you have full-on Swift Playgrounds, where you can build an app literally from just telling Byte to move forward or sideways to putting something up on the App Store. And that's super exciting to me.
Very cool. I think it's a remarkable thing that Apple's doing to get people involved in programming. Swift Playgrounds 4.1 for iPad and Mac is out now. Mr. Alex Lindsay, pick of the week.
Yeah, so we're building some new kits. I'm building kits for folks that want to be on. We're going to do a new podcast. We're actually working on a podcast with Michael Krasny.
Oh, and, nice.
Maybe get some of you guys on to talk to him. But nice. And we're kind of building some kits that are kind of light kits that are just going to give me good audio, reasonably good video, a little bit of lighting, but not go crazy. Some of our kits are really big, complicated. And one thing that we really went through is looking at a lot of different microphones, you know, and what we were looking for is not just the highest quality, but also it's a high quality sound, but it also is easy to, put together, easy to control, easy to connect to the computer. And so we've kind of started to really circle around the MV7. It's not a brand new one, but this is like much like the SMB7 as well. But the MV7 is Shure's kind of large, you know, it's a capsule. It's the same as, I think it's the same capsule as the SM58, but it has a different windscreen and so on and so forth. And it does both XLR and USB. So it can be just a USB mic, but it also, if you decide you want to put it into something with a little bit more control, you want to record locally, because what we want to be able to do is have this mic and then be able to go, oh, we're going to put it into a MixPre 3 and, you know, record it. But we have the option of just sending it out by itself and having just a microphone
this
there.
So
we
really wanted both good. Of those. This is a legendary microphone. Yeah. For them to have a USB version of it is huge. Yeah.
And it's got some controls on the outside. It's relatively easy. It's robust, you know, with a little stand. And so it's got the zero latency, you know, microphone, headset connection. So there's a lot of things about it that are pretty slick. So,
and it comes
that's
in
what
purple.
We're standardizing on. In purple. I'm not buying the purple ones. but I think that we're going to start buying a bunch of those because we just think that that's a good one. Again, it's easy to send out. We're not worried about it being in frame, you know, right. It's kind of audio primary like we do here.
Right.
And so it's just a nice, easy one to get really high quality audio. And then again, one of the keys was it had to have an XLR, output
as
well.
Both ways. So, yeah,
exactly.
It looks like it has a meter on the front too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It has a meter and you can have some controls over the volume there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
MV7 sure has been doing a lot of great stuff under the Motive
very
brand.
Aggressive.
And I really like a lot of their microphones. So, we'll have to try this out too. That's cool. And you can get it with a tripod for only $20 more. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And there's a boom too. I don't know if I'm going to recommend this or not. When Snapchat came out with their Air Selfie, their little selfie drone, I bought it. It won't be here for a couple of months. And then somebody in the chat room said, well, wait a minute, get one of these. They're available now. And it came, $150, $159. This is from airselfiecamera.com. And I thought we'd just try this out. Oh, this is going to be interesting. So you get the app. You need the app to do this. And it pairs via Wi-Fi to the Air Selfie. I think I still don't know exactly how to use it, but I'm going to try here. I triple tap this button, and it turns on the fans, and then I just toss it lightly in the air, and it's going to do a selfie. Hi, I'm over here. It still hasn't seen me. I'm over here. Hello. Hello. Hi. How are you? Oh, now it sees me. Oh, hey, hey. And then I can press, put my hand out, and it's supposed to come land on my hand. Let's see if it does it. Lana, oh, look at that. So now let's see what happens. I don't know if I got...
See if you actually got something.
See if I got anything.
It realized it was on camera and there was publicity involved, and that's when it decided...
Yeah, because before the show, it didn't want to work at all.
It's being remote controlled.
It didn't want to work at all. So let's see.
I'm watching the stream right now.
Downloading two elements. So they're downloading whatever it was that I just shot. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Oh,
look at that. Hey. You can kind of see it. So
it's like a studio display.
Yeah, I guess I didn't do a video. Let's do a video. Should we try a video? So that was the stills. Let me try the video now. Let's just see if that works. I'm over here. Here's selfie camera. Here. Hi. Hi. Hello. You're supposed to do, I think you're supposed to twerk or something. Yeah, yeah.
It's not TikTok, Leo.
Yeah, yeah. It's working. And now I just hold out my hand. Come here. Come back to me. Come on. Come on, little selfie.
Or cat.
It's like a cat.
It's like that Death Star drawing.
I kind of want you to pick me up. I kind of want to pick you up, but I don't really want to.
Okay, now it's downloading those. Let's see if these came out as videos. Yeah, looks like it did. Well, maybe not. Anyway, not the best image I've ever seen.
Better composition than last time. I was worried that it was putting your head in the middle of the frame.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's still not doing video, though. Anyway, I'm not sure I recommend it, but I definitely, I'm thinking the Snapchat one is this, right? I don't know, pretty good. They say 15 minutes of flight time on a single charge. It charged up quickly. It has several modes, manual, auto fly. Shall I try the orbit mode? What? Now we're taking some chances. Now it's supposed to orbit around me. I'm here.
Dum 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 dum.
I don't know where it is. There it is. Oh, it can't. It can't get around the TV.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, anyway. You know, this is kind of fun.
As a $150 flying toy, I don't think that's unreasonable.
No. I wish we had a cat here to play with.
Yeah. Oh, God.
A cat would eat it.
No, not Andy. Not Andy. No. Okay.
Certainly, it's attracted to charisma. Well, it's locking on to me, of course.
It locked on to you. I thought that was interesting. Air Selfie. This is the Air Selfie Neo. They say they won an innovation award, fourth generation. And I like the idea, you know. And I think for the price, you know, $150, you're getting a, I don't know if you're getting stunning aerial HD videos, but you're getting something.
Yeah.
Something.
Again, it's a fun. It's going to be a fun toy, especially like indoors when you have high ceilings. I don't know how well. There's only a very slight breeze going on outside. I'm not sure how well those four.
Yeah, it says do it inside at first. Here's the video. Yeah, it's going behind the chair. It's going, but it, it's an interesting view. It's getting. Can I make it bigger? I don't know. I'll have to tell you what. I'll put it on. I'll put it on our social media feed or Twitter or something. You can see it. I'm gonna still work on it.
I gotta say,
wholehearted pick. But
having seen like most of the Avengers movies, I have seen worse composed action shots in fight scenes in the Avengers movie than in that shot. So
let's try the 360.
Let's do.
I like it that you just throw it in the air.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's supposed to have a red there. Now it sees me. But now it's going off to see you again. Oh, I see. It is. It's spinning around. It's giving you the whole tour of the studio. I get it. All right. Good. Now you can come back. You can come back to Papa. Nope. Oh! It went right by my ear.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Until headbutts it.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week on Mac Break Weekly. You'll find Renee Ritchie doing exciting things at YouTube, much more exciting than that, at youtube.com/Renee Ritchie. What are you working on today?
I'm working on a really big video about the iPod, the life and death of the iPod, which I'm hoping to have up tomorrow morning.
Yeah. John ran out and bought an iPod Touch. I understand they're sold out now.
Yeah.
But he went and said, you know, I should, for 256 gigs for $400, maybe I should get that and replace that with my iPod Classic. So, but John, if you don't open it, it's a collector's item. You might want to, 100 years from now, you could sell it for something. Good. Renee Ritchie is at youtube.com/Renee Ritchie. Andy Inaka, when are you going to be on WGBH next?
I've been told that the Maya needs my time on Friday, so I'm off this week. But you can go to WGBHnews.org to stream all the stuff that I've been doing for the past 3 years.
Not bad being replaced by the Maya.
Let her try.
Oh, it's a, she's a woman.
I'll get that parking situation straightened out. Let me tell you.
I don't know. When I think Boston mayors, I think Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons for some reason.
Kevin White.
Yeah, exactly.
Air in the shitty of Boston.
And Alex Lindsay, officehours.global. You can, I think, just from listening to the show, get an idea of how interesting it is day and night. Go to officehours.global to find out what's coming up. Bird Dog was your focus on the last
show. Yeah, we had
the
CEO on this morning, and he was fantastic. And Bird Dog does a lot of variety of NDI tools and cameras and transports, cool. And they've really gone from a little company to really doing a lot of big things. And so we had the CEO on today. Tomorrow we're talking about 3D apparel.
3D apparel? What's that?
Yeah, it's like, you know, how to actually look at apparel in 3D and how to model it and check it in XR and XR retail. And then we're getting ready. You know, we're going to be covering NAMM, the audio, National Audio Merchandiser.
NAMM.
Music merchandisers. NAMM.
Yeah.
And Cinegear. Those are coming up in a couple. And WWDC. So we're in plan.
You did NAB, and your NAB stuff is on the website as well.
Yep.
This is good. This could be the way to see these conferences from now on. By the way, they're not in black and white, just the thumbnails.
No, we just put them up there. Yeah, exactly. and then we're talking about a lot of, on Saturdays in our education area, we're talking a lot about presentations. So whether it's PowerPoint or Keynote, we're spending an hour almost every week on that to talk about how to structure them. We just realize a lot of, especially educators, but people in general have trouble structuring their you know, their Keynote files or their PowerPoint files. And that's why they call it death by PowerPoint, is mostly bad design.
Yes.
So we're working on, like, we've got some folks that are really smart talking about, like, how to structure it and how to take full advantage of, whether it's PowerPoint or Keynote, how to take full advantage of the software and really make something that's interesting to watch. So that's coming up on Saturdays. Yeah.
And of course, if you want to hire Alex for your next event, He's got some special skills no one else has. 090.media.
I specialize in moonshot projects.
I have some very particular skills.
Yeah, if you have something that sounds impossible, we can probably find a way to help you.
Sounds great. We do Mac Break Weekly every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can actually watch us do it live if you want. We stream live audio and video from live.twit.tv. If you're watching live, you can chat live at irc.twit.tv. Of course, Club Twit members have their own chat room, the kind of the clubhouse in Discord. After the fact, on-demand versions of the show are available at the website, twit.tv/mbw. You can also watch on YouTube. There's a Mac Break Weekly channel on YouTube. Best thing to do would be subscribe in your favorite podcast player, and that way you can watch or listen at your leisure, any old time you want. Thanks for joining us, everybody. But now I have to say, time to get back to work, because break time's over. Bye-bye.